I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Trump said today that he will post his reduced amount of $175 million very quickly. What do you think? Can he do that?
Look, it's certainly a whole lot less than the $500 million that he was looking for, that he could not get, that his son Eric was crying on television, that this is something that nobody has ever had to do before. They were obviously unable to do it. Do I think that he can raise the $175 million? The answer is most probably. It's certainly, like I said, a lot less than the $500 million. There are things that he can do. You know, one of the things that I was saying earlier today is I wish that Tish James had reached out to me. I would show her exactly where the money is for the $500 million that she should have gone after a long time ago instead of giving him the opportunity of 30 days to raise this bond. Look, the situation is what it is. Do I think he will do
it?
Sure, but he's going to also, yeah, well, well, she certainly could. I will say that, the 175 is a lot easier for him to raise than the 500.
That's pretty simple ciphering. And the person speaking is a man with a vengeance. He's perfect. He's perfect for the state-controlled media to find someone to preach against and rail against and shout against Donald Trump. That was Michael Cohen. Michael Cohen on MSNBC's Jen Psaki's program, talking about how the bond got reduced by the judge, or rather by the court, for what the judge wanted him to pay to get out on bail. Well, actually, the judge was involved in it. Let me correct that. But Michael Cohen, he's got a lot of baggage and a hell of a lot of vengeance he wants to carry out and bitterness against Donald Trump. I'm sure you recall most of the details, but I'm going to break it down for you as we continue. First of all, welcome aboard for hour number two of Larry Connors USA. We're here every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. When we're on the air, we are putting up streams for video for you to watch. You'll see them at Larry Connors USA, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter. Or you can go to News Talk STL, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter. If you miss anything, that you can't stay with us the entire hour or part of 1 hour or 2 hours, you can always find them, both video and audio, at LarryConnorsUSA.com or LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. So no reason to miss anything. So once again, here's Michael Cohen. Now, Michael Cohen, remember that he was employed by Donald Trump. Some have called him in the way they like to phrase it because it fits their narrative as the fixer for Donald Trump. He's the one who supposedly got money to women to make sure that Trump was free of any claims that might have involved sexual relations. And he also, for a period of time, was a board member of the Eric Trump Foundation, a children's health charity, from 2017 to 18. Deputy finance chair of the Republican National Committee, even at one point. But the part I love, really, when you look at Michael Dean Cohen, it begins by saying he is an American former lawyer. Former lawyer. And why former? Well, because of what the court convicted him of. Trump dropped him a year after the special counsel investigation into the Russian interference began, reference to 2016 elections. And then in August 2018, Cohen pled guilty to 8 counts, including campaign finance violations, tax fraud, bank fraud. Now, he said, I did violate the campaign finance laws, but I did it because Trump directed me to. Quote, for the principal purpose of influencing the 2016 presidential election. So in November 2018, Cohen pled guilty to lying to U.S. congressional committees about efforts to build a Trump Tower in Moscow. December 2018, he got sentenced to 3 years in federal prison. ordered to pay a $50,000 fine. And the New York Court Appellate Court Division disbarred him from practicing law. In 2019, he reported to the federal prison near Otisville, New York. He completed his sentence by 2021. So again, they say, well, he was a fixer for Trump. He got caught in the machinery and it chewed him up. I don't know of anybody I'm going to go to jail for, period. Now, I might go to jail for things I do to someone because they did something to my family. That I will see that happen. But Michael Cohen, again, was talking about trying to sound a warning. Trump is against the wall, and this bond, this amount of money they're trying to put on him, even though now it's been reduced from $500 million to $175 million. Trump had said late last Friday, okay, I've got the $500 million cash if that's what it stands, but his lawyers apparently told him, don't rush to sign the check. We're not done battling and appealing. And they got it reduced down to $175. But I want to share a piece written by Mark Hemingway with the Federalist. And he said, the New York fraud judgment against Trump is so bad, even his biggest critics are not defending that penalty. And then he added, an appeals court just gutted New York's $454 million fine against Trump. Quote, in a fraud case which there are no fraud victims. Now, we've been down this road before, haven't we, friend? We pointed out this, nobody got hurt in this, except Letitia James was claiming, well, the state of New York didn't get all it's supposed to get. Listen, the New York state and California states, they will never get all the money they think they're entitled to, and you still owe more, period. And they're going to try to come after it. But as Hemingway continues in his Federalist article, it's pretty clear at this point the Democrats' main election strategy against Donald Trump has nothing to do with Joe Biden running a savvy political campaign. He might as well have written in there, snicker, snicker, because that's what I'm doing. But he continues, instead they're attempting to defeat Trump with a series of obviously politically coordinated lawsuits and criminal charges, hoping this will drain Trump's resources and any resulting convictions will tarnish him in the eyes of the voters. Suffice it to say, this strategy is not working out well for them. Biden hasn't led in the polls in 6 months. Well, there's a new Bloomberg survey that's out, which we talked about in the last hour, that is saying that there is a show of strength from Biden and in some swing states. Doesn't mean he's leading, but he's narrowing the gap. This is like you've got your money on horse number five, and horse number five is galloping and galloping, coming from the back, closing on number one, closing on number one. But if they don't make it across of the winning horse first, they are not the winner. It's as simple as that. And they'll win your money. Unless you put, you know, win, place, or show. Those of you who bet on the horses will know what I'm talking about. I don't know a thing about it. I'm just mocking and acting like I do. But anyway, he goes on in his article to say, there's a lot to be said about the dubious nature of the charges brought against Trump and driven home by the recent decision by the appeals court to reduce the bond in a civil fraud from $454 to $175 million. That's a big haircut. That is a major haircut. But the issue that someone is not saying, as he's pointing out again by Mark Hemingway, the Federalist, it's such complete bunk that no one among the legion of Trump's critics in and out of corporate media is even trying to defend this case on the merits. And they're not. They'll throw around the words, the slang and the slur. He's going to destroy America. He's going to be a dictator. He's going to overthrow the government. But they've got no proof, no evidence, just their words and the smoke screen they're putting up. So Trump did take out loans over several years. Real estate people do that often, especially of his size. And when they go to file for a loan from the bank, numbers will often get inflated. But it is the banks or lending institutions' fiduciary duty to document, is it really worth what you claim it is? Or if it's close enough, maybe we'll let it slide anyway. Or you're a good guy, we're just going to accept your word. Now, that's not going to happen generally. It might have with Trump. But the bottom line is, out of all of those loans he took out, and if they did their own due diligence, which they're responsible for doing, every single one of them got paid back. Nobody lost any money. May I repeat that? No one that lent Donald Trump money on these deals lost any money. Which, again, under the state of New York, gives them a belief, well, now, wait a minute. You can't let that just slide by. And especially Letitia James, the attorney general who campaigned, saying, I will take Trump down. Well, then she's got to figure out, well, we got to go through these. And since he inflated the value assets to get favorable loan terms, then maybe there's something there for us. But again, no bank is accusing him of wrongdoing. Would that not be the first complaint? And she would have it front and center, even if it's only one bank. They say, we got defrauded, and we're upset over it. No, they're not. Trump says they even want to do business with him again. The issue was, of course, the judge that got the case, even as described in this Federalist article, is bizarre, personally incompetent, adversarial. I don't know Judge Engeron or whatever he says, how he pronounces it, but I tend to get along with that and accept the view that he's bizarre, professionally incompetent, adversarial. I would assume that probably fits as well. But he also points out in this article for the Federalist, even CNN was incredulous about Engeron's low valuation of Trump's assets. For those who believe that Trump inflated the value of his assets to get a loan, this would not make him a unique figure in the business world. The judgment of the judge is still unreliable. As the former federal prosecutor Andy McCarthy stated, this is a fraud case in which there are no fraud victims. But Letitia James got what she wanted. To have him face some charges, have to pay a big penalty. But now, instead of half a billion, we're down to $175 million. No, I got that in my pocket. There'll be more to come from this, but it reemphasizes not a prosecution, but a persecution. And, of course, this morning we began the day with news of a tragedy that could have been much, much worse.
The Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore collapsed after being struck by a 900-foot-long cargo ship around 1:30 a.m. this morning.
Be advised, the entire bridge, the entire Key Bridge in the harbor. I advise to hold all traffic from coming to the bridge.
The fire department described the collapse as a mass casualty incident.
There's cops everywhere, and there's police all up and down the bridge.
While it's not known exactly how many people or vehicles were on the bridge, initial emergency calls mentioned several construction workers who were working on the bridge.
8 construction workers were on the bridge, according to the construction worker. We have one. There's 7 unaccounted for. He said there was a dump truck, a pickup truck, a large truck, and a Nissan car that he knew of that was on the bridge at the time of collapse.
This continues to be a search and rescue operation. It continues to be a very dynamic operation with multiple local, state, and federal resources involved.
That is the report as it was filed earlier this morning, shortly after the bridge collapse. A lot has happened since then. Those that went into the water, the frigid temperatures when that bridge went down, they had maybe a maximum of an hour to survive, assuming they could keep their head above water. 2 were rescued, but still some missing that they know of, and probably others they don't know, very possible. The only saving grace is that this happened at the time of morning it did, not morning rush hour. This is a 1.6-mile long, 4-lane bridge that basically serves as the outermost crossing of the Baltimore Harbor. It's a link to Interstate 695 or the Baltimore Beltway. I said Boston, my bad, Baltimore. They know at least 8 were on the bridge when the ship crashed into it. The crew did issue a mayday just before colliding with the bridge. And there were reports and indications and videos showing that the ship had lost power off and on. Lights were on, then they were off. Suddenly back on, then off again. A big puff of smoke for the engines, and like they're trying to restart the engine or something. And by then, they could not stop it. You've got a 110,000-ton vessel headed for that bridge support. The other part of the story, and again, keep in mind those who are waiting to hear about their loved ones and those who did survive, is, again, prayers should be said by those who normally might have been there, even at that morning, that time of day. But you also have to look at how that's going to end up affecting the economy, because everybody says in that area that the routes that we're going to have to use in the meantime will be something like 45 minutes added to our drive time, one way. The president of the International Longshoremen's Association also said, we are at a standstill when it comes to the economy. We make our living off of import and export cargo, unloading, loading, discharging, loading ships. And so this is going to be a big strain on the economy and the state of Maryland, because the port of Baltimore is one of the main engines. And this bridge is down, so ships cannot get to their loading docks or unloading docks. In fact, the president of the International Longshoremen said, until those ships can come up and down the bay again, the little bit of cargo that's going to be in the terminal will be imported and exported. They'll have to wait for the channel to open, and I don't know how long that's going to happen. He also pointed out that you cannot stop a ship like that on a dime, because it's like a car without brakes or a train. It cannot stop that fast, even if all the power is cut. Again, it is not considered any kind of terrorist act, an accident, but why the engines went out, the power, that's still going to be part of the investigation. And there are some ocean carriers being moved now away from the port of Baltimore after that collapse. They're going to divert them to the port of Virginia to try to keep trade moving, which means if they're dropped in that location, then they'll have to be trucked or railed to where they're needed next. But again, just thank God it was not at a time of day when it could have had all four lanes congested with traffic. I don't know if you're aware of it, but the FDA had decided in 2016 and again in 2021 to drop virtually all safety precautions for obtaining and using chemical abortion drugs. The FDA, which is supposed to be in charge and monitoring your safety, the same FDA that claimed that you couldn't use ivermectin along with CDC, they actually in 2016 and 2021 said, we're going to drop virtually all safety precautions. An argument today, an oral argument in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. We're going to talk about that with my guest coming up. You don't want to miss it. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on, there's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for us covering the local angle.
Come on, people. This is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local? Really good.
News Talk STL at 1019 941 and NewsTalkSTL.com.
I have a personal story about why I trust McGuire Moving and Storage. A relative needed to escape an unhealthy relationship. Josh, Christine, and the McGuire team were understanding, even comforting. That's why I'm honored to endorse McGuire. Since 1935, McGuire's been moving and caring for families. So, moving a home, office, local, or long distance, McGuireMoving.com, McGuireMoving.com.
Hey, St. Louis, my name is Rob Carter. My new primetime show will explore the collaboration between corrupt media and our corrupted political system. From manipulated elections, open borders, mandated medicines, and unconstitutional lockdowns, what is going on? The Rob Carter Show. Let's talk about it on The Rob Carter Show. Join me weeknights from 8 to 10 p.m. on News Talk STL.
Rob Carter, live and local, weeknights at 8 on News Talk STL. This is News Talk STL.
Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light. Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light.
Roxanne.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. So today the U.S. Supreme Court was hearing arguments on access via mail for abortion pills. By the questions and the early response from the court, according to some observers, the court is signaling that it will probably retain widespread access to at least one of the two common drugs used in medication for abortion. This is a case that could obviously have national implications for reproductive rights and the authority of federal agencies. During oral arguments, a majority of the justices from across the ideological spectrum, according to this source, the Hill publication, appeared deeply skeptical that a group of anti-abortion doctors and organizations even had the right to sue the FDA over changes the agency made it to seem easier to have access to mifepristone. But that's not the only place in consideration or the only drug. The conservative justices, as is pointed out again by the Hill, appointed by former President Trump, questioned whether any doctors in the lawsuit could show they had personally been harmed by the government's actions to regulate mifepristone. I'm sorry, I know I blow the name each time. I can't seem to get that one right sometimes. But Justice Neil Gorsuch, one of the three conservatives appointed by Trump, also joined with the liberal justices to question the broad relief these groups were seeking that would be rolling back all the changes the FDA made since 2016. And in fact, at one point he said, "We've had a rash of universal injunctions. This case seems like a prime example of turning what could be a small lawsuit into a nationwide legislative assembly on an FDA rule or any other government agency." Now, again, these are just questions, and this is the oral argument time in front of the court. A decision on this case probably won't come until June or July. But the issue also involves a group called the Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine. Now, I yesterday, by chance, was discussing for the audience, if you missed it, you can go back and pull it up, the Hippocratic Oath. And it was noted that many med students do not take the Hippocratic Oath as we have known it. They take something under the Geneva Convention or something of that nature, which gives a much wider latitude, in my opinion. And at the same time, I'm not even sure that's really being pushed and promoted by medical schools anymore. But they wanted to examine that FDA decision in 2016 and 2021 that said it's okay to simply start mailing out drugs to abort a fetus. Now, also keep in mind, if the court does uphold broad access to the drug, it will still remain illegal in more than a dozen states that ban abortion, period. So it doesn't matter in what way you get an abortion. If you're in a state that has banned abortion, you cannot get that drug sent into that state to carry out the abortion. Doctors suing asserted that they would be violating their morals if they had to treat a woman suffering complications who had used one of these. And that's the other part of this story. This is not like taking a pill and maybe making your headache go away. It's going to make the baby go away, but it's also basically putting an acid in you that will destroy the baby and maybe you, the woman. The Solicitor General representing the government pointed out that the doctors asserting they'd be violating their morals, what she said, some of the justices noted, the doctors had the ability to opt out if something like that happened. A female comes in who's obviously pregnant or suspects she is and took one of these drugs and she wants treatment, and he could say, well, I'm not going to step in and do that because I think I might be harming the fetus still. So they ended up suing the FDA over a potential harm. They were asking the Supreme Court to prevent all women across the nation from getting this. Justice Elena Kagan at one point asked the attorney representing the Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine whether any of the doctors involved in the lawsuit could show specific injury. And she said, you need a person. Who's your person? Is it not enough to understand what the drug does and kills babies? But that's not the question in front of the court, and they have to stick to what's in front of them. As much as you might prefer and want a certain answer, if you're a true constitutionalist, you say stay with the Constitution. When these doctors brought this, they were thinking we had enough standing. I'm not sure now, based on how the court's treating it, if they're even recognizing they have standing. We had scheduled Sarah Parshall Perry from Heritage Foundation to be with us, but we're having trouble getting through to her, so we'll have to go along without her, and I regret it because maybe we can try to book her tomorrow and still look back on this case. But I do want to share this with you. A question was asked by one of the justices. I want to verify who she was asking the question because the way it was worded here is a little confusing. You have to bear with me because I'm seeing some of this stuff for the first time. So after Justice Kagan asked, who's your person? You're going to need a person. Then the newest justice, Ketanji Brown Jackson, asked the doctor a similar question, stating, and this doctor, by the way, is female. She said, Justice Jackson, I don't want to hypothesize. Can you point me to any place in the declarations where a doctor states that they attempted to object to giving this drug but were unable to? And she said, no, she could not. And the reason I was double-checking the name, this doctor is Dr. Hawley, who is the wife of Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri. And yes, he was there attending the arguments. So after about 90 minutes of arguments, and these are oral arguments, normally they take 30 minutes, maybe 60 minutes, but again, this was one of the extended sessions. Recently they had one something like 2 hours. But after about 90 minutes of arguments, the Biden administration and the drug company that makes the brand name, Mifeprex, emphasized rigorous scientific studies go into any FDA decision. But much of their argument focused on standing, which is what I was just raising a moment ago. And there's where they're trying to really make their case. With respect to these regulatory changes, it's hard to identify anyone who would have standing to sue. Let me put it to you this way in what I discussed earlier with Trump. Like it or not, and I don't, but still, I told you earlier there was no one a victim of fraud in the case filed against Donald Trump in New York. There was no victim of fraud. The Letitia Jackson, the attorney general, just decided to say, well, the state's a victim in a convoluted way. So if there's no victim, do you really have any kind of case? That's exactly what they're doing here in the Supreme Court on this petition. Do you have a victim, either a doctor who was injured because they would not prescribe or oversee, take care of a woman who had taken it, or any woman who was wrongly hurt in some way? But may I raise one question? And I'm not talking about legal, and yet it is legal issue, but also moral. You know there's one party that's harmed by taking this drug. The baby. Basically lost in this argument. This is the first time abortion has come under the court since the same group of justices, minus Justice Jackson, overturned Roe v. Wade in 2022. And I want to point something else out to you, how valuable your vote is when it comes to the presidential election. Donald Trump was in position, and I count it by God's providence. Like him or not, he was there to appoint three justices to the court who looked at the Constitution and said, abortion is not in the Constitution. It is therefore not the law of the land. We'll send it back to the states, which is exactly what Ruth Bader Ginsburg, former justice, had said. And she was afraid because of her stance. She wasn't even on the court when Roe v. Wade was issued. But she told Bill Clinton, who was going to nominate her, she said, I might not get on because a lot of women are upset with me because I did not support Roe v. Wade. I said they should have just sent it back to the states, let them resolve it. And as also pointed out, even if the court were to rule come this June or July, drugs cannot be shipped to the mail in this fashion to have an abortion, they can't go into certain states because those states ban abortion. By whatever means. Oh, I tell you, you got legal, you got moral, you got ethical. Where do you stand?
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, we got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation. Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Sometimes you want to do something extra special for someone. Vincent's Jewelers can help you. Maybe you want to do something for yourself. Mark a date, something you accomplished. It doesn't have to be anything really expensive, but it has to mean something now and for the future. Vincent's, locally owned, just asked for the chance to work with you, as they have with me, on Olive, just east of 270. Every day, new specials at VincentsJewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perished in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield is a very special deal. You do not want to miss this. A bottle of Angel's Envy engraved with your name, or maybe get several with your company name. What a great gift for special clients. So you can get one or several. Check the Lit Cigar Lounge STL Facebook for full details, or just visit Lit in Chesterfield. In fact, I'll probably see you at Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. Lit Cigar Lounge.
This is News Talk STL.
Baby, I got your number. Oh, and I know that you got mine. You know that I called you. I called too many times. You can call me, baby. Can call me anytime. You got to call me.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So the issue with the illegals, or as they want to call them in the Biden administration, these are newcomers. They're newcomers. You know what? In West Texas, I don't know if it did in towns where you grew up, they had what they called a welcome wagon. It was kind of a franchise that was spread across the nation. And the welcome wagon group would show up at your door and bring you coupons from numerous businesses around where you live. Coupons, maybe a few samples of something they had, be it linen, candy, food, whatever. Kind of a gift basket. Kind of a welcome to the neighborhood. Welcome to the community. Well, of course, that was a more innocent time. And certainly, well before a horde of invaders coming across our border. And yet not one leftist, to my knowledge, not one of them is yet to say, I will open my house and help provide shelter for them. Not one. If you hear one doing it, would you let me know? I do know there was an older couple somewhere in the upper Northeast that said, we will help. You could send us some migrants. We'll help. We got room. Our kids are grown and moved. And they're very liberal, bleeding heart, but had a good heart, and they wanted to help. And then the next thing they know, without any warning, there's a family of four or six on their front porch. And at last report, they're still living there. And I'm not sure at one point they might not determine that they're squatters and they just, we own the right, we own your house now. Wouldn't surprise me. In the meantime, I'm looking at a report that Boston is planning to hand over the city's old Chelsea Soldiers house, or home, I should say, to house illegal immigrants. Because the Democrat governor, well, wouldn't you know, it's a Democrat. I'm totally surprised. Aren't you a Democrat? Well, of course, it's Boston. And she's looking for more sites to house migrants. She said, currently, we're over capacity at the established shelters, so we're going to start using the soldiers' home facility. Now, no soldiers staying there that I know of, but if they are, they're going to have to leave because they're going to make room for the illegals, newcomers. And then, of course, you have them still trying to build in various blue cities, trying to build shelters for them, often in neighborhoods, without giving any advance notice, if they can get by with it, to the residents. Perfect example. Chicago, trying to build and open up a warehouse area and turn it into a homeless shelter within blocks of where children go to school, pass by, and near residents. Poor residents, but they're still residents, and they're U.S. citizens. And they have thrown up a backlash that is going to catch fire and has caught fire across the nation. They don't want illegal camps put in behind their backyard. Well, I'm sure the Democrats thought, well, they won't mind. They're poor. They'll be glad to welcome them. No, they're trying to get out of poverty. Now you're going to impoverish them more and bring crime in. And I've got a perfect example of that in a minute. You knew I would. We don't come in halfway baked here. Try not to anyway. So they're still looking for more help. And here's the the Democrat governor in Boston saying, we are going to step forward and find something. We'll put up more shelters as we need them. And we're going to transition these folks out of reliance onto state assistance. Well, that's still reliance. Are you kidding me? How about a job? Leaving a grocery store the other day, and I could tell they were talking to me as I was trying to close the door. They wanted to ask me, can you loan us some change, some money? Look, I feel for people who are in a case like that. I do. But I also pointed to the sign right in front of them at that store, hiring. I said, they'll pay you. You go in there, but they didn't want to do any work. That was their issue. But here's the other, and by the way, New York City is going to start giving debit cards to migrant families for food and baby supplies. They have, at this point, 180,000 illegals in the city. Over the last 2 years, they've been arriving. 65,000 of them are in shelters. The rest, if they could, the New York mayor bust them out to other parts of New York State. And those mayors didn't like that either. But as we talked as often as we have about, we don't know who's coming into our country, what their intent is. Terrorist, very likely that they're here, waiting for a signal. The number of illegal Chinese men, military age around our country, waiting for a signal. The other terrorist groups looking at doors open to get into the U.S. We hate Americans, let's go. Waiting for a signal. And when that bridge accident happened today to begin with, the first thought many had was a terrorist action. They put explosives under the bridge. But the first thought you should have had after that was, not at 1 a.m., it's not going to do any good as far as killing a lot of people. Maybe some, but not what they could have. Maybe they blew themselves up prematurely. But as it turned out, that's just an accident under investigation. But we know of numerous cases, including the story of Lake and Hope Riley, a nursing student in Georgia, kidnapped and attacked and murdered by a Venezuelan, according to police, an illegal who got into our country through El Paso 2 years ago. And he's the one charged. You have to be careful jumping to the conclusion that he did it. I know you want to, but you can't do that. And then we got a couple here that, again, you're going to have to ask, what's her legal status? But you're asking questions the administration should be asking, and they won't. A pair of illegal aliens considered gotaways because they never officially documented them to some extent when they came to the country. At least give us a name. Any name. Make up a name. We know you don't have any ID, so we're just going to go whatever you tell us. And if you're from Venezuela and you tell us you're from Uruguay or you're from Chile, we won't know. We're just going to put it down like that. But these are a couple of the gotaways that are seen crossing the border, but they can't get hold of them at that time. In either dark of night or they're being understaffed and overrun. They've now found out that two of them, one a 75-year-old from El Salvador, was deported from the U.S. this month after he was arrested by ICE, Immigration and Customs agents, last year. Just got deported this month. He is wanted in El Salvador for his role in so-called death squad killings. They believe that he was involved in kidnapping, torture, and murder of at least five civilians in 1981. Well, he did flee here for asylum to get away from other death-killing squads and to be free of any punishment he had faced in El Salvador. Is that a case for asylum? Not hardly. He got arrested in Baltimore, Maryland last year. Finally got a final deportation order 2 months ago. Another got away from Brazil, found living in Newark, New Jersey, wanting because he dodged a prison sentence again for murder and attempted murder. He got arrested by ICE in Newark, and of course they want to deport him, but they're having trouble doing so. You know why? Because the government's too slow, too overcrowded. And since Joe Biden took office in January 2021, I just told you about two of the nearly 2 million known gotaways. How safe do you think you and your family are? Sleep with one eye open? Well, a Senate inquiry into the climate change issues and the money Biden wants to spend on it, and one of the expert witnesses ended up in front of Senator John Kennedy and had a hard, hard fall.
What is carbon dioxide?
I went to high school, but that's carbon dioxide is a gas.
Okay.
I'm not a professional to talk about carbon dioxide so much, but
is it the major part of our atmosphere?
It's a huge part of our atmosphere, yes.
It's actually a very small part of our atmosphere.
Well, okay.
Oh, okay. You know what? If Senator Kennedy had said there is no such thing as carbon dioxide, he probably said, oh, okay. This guy was in deep. He's an Olympian skier from the state of Washington, Gus Schumacher. And apparently somebody in the Democrats thought, you know what? We're talking about climate change and everything. Look what Greta Thunberg, look how much publicity and press she got when she began to proclaim that you folks are the adults. You're supposed to be controlling all this. You're going to kill all of us kids. We'll never get to grow up. And they took her in front of the UN and almost gave her, they may have, but now stop thinking about it, a peace medal and Nobel Prize. So then somebody decides, Gus Schumacher, he's a great skier, and he knows about the climate because he's out in it a lot. He skis. And he has to be worried about the snow melting, because then he wouldn't be able to be an Olympian skier, not on snow anyway. So they thought, let's put him up there, and I'm sure he was looking forward to it and excited. 23 years old. They took advantage of the kid, and they destroyed their case and cause. But you know what? They will look at him as just collateral damage, garbage on the side of the road, move on, never know about him, and he will be lucky to even get a call back and a thank you letter because the way he got gutted by Senator Kennedy over these questions. He doesn't know anything about CO2. He doesn't know anything about the climate, but he was being presented by the Democrats as an expert. An expert. This is how easy it is to put somebody in front of you, say, this person's an expert. This is why Dr. Fake got away so long as he did by proclaiming, follow the science. And while you've got gender transitioning doctors and nurses and people that are saying kids have a right to change their gender and there are more than one genders. Well, you either follow the science and know there's not, or you follow the quackery. And that's what they've been pushing. And when it comes to climate change, it's not just a matter of worrying about the climate. You're going to spend money. Oh, now that is something Democrats, progressives / regressives fully understand. We know how to spend money, how to spend your money. And Senator Kennedy, when he was appearing on Sean Hannity's program, started talking about that aspect of, quote, climate change.
Well, I was reading a study this weekend, Sean, by a visiting professor at Stanford, and he says that the cost to make the world carbon neutral by 2050 and to sustain it until 2100 would be $27 trillion a year. That's about $2,000 trillion. That's not a plan. That's a fantasy. Because countries like China and Russia and Iran and sub-Saharan Africa, India, are going to expect the American people to pay for it. If we discovered life on Mars tomorrow, Joe Biden would send it money.
Absolutely, he would. He certainly would. Let me leave you this hour with this report involving tax documents for the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Foundation. And a major foundation funded by leftist billionaire George Soros. The Tides Foundation's public filings show the Soros-funded organization has given more than $12 million to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Foundation over 5 years. $12 million. Why? Because they're trying to turn the Chamber of Commerce into another arm of the George Soros Foundation. They're trying to get business groups involved in being more Soros-like. In other words, no free capitalism, no free enterprise. Why would these U.S. Chamber groups go down this road? The dollars, even though they see the noose at the end that's waiting for them, live on the high side while you can. Is that the idea? And of course, as we have pointed out for you previously, George Soros is getting ready to take control of 200 plus radio stations across the nation, five in the St. Louis area, two of them considered to be conservative talk. When he gets hold of them, do you think they're going to stay conservative? And one of them even carried Rush Limbaugh for a time? Do you think that would happen nowadays with George Soros? Now, you know better. That's why, again, I ask you to remember, we are the number one local conservative radio talk for St. Louis and elsewhere. As always, thanks for listening. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.